Okay, I'm going to convene the House Agricultural and Natural Resource Committee on 7th of February.
Yes, February.
February. So first on the agenda, we're going to have a public hearing, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 4042. And by the way, just for announcement, we're going to carry over House Bill 4005 and House Bill 4072 will be carried over until our next meeting.
Let me explain.
Go ahead, Beth.
Chair Escobo and committee members, in front of you, you have the dash one amendment on House Bill 4042. We are still waiting on paperwork, or excuse me, I'm wrong, the dash one amendment, the fiscal statement was issued, and the paper copy in front of you is the correct version. We had an earlier version online that had an error in it, so it's been corrected. So you have the fiscal statement on that dash one, as well as a no revenue impact statement on that dash one. This bill does have a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. The original bill you heard during the January legislative days, and this dash one amendment that you have in front of you replaces the measure and enhances the use of the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund with limits in the established act to include paying up to 50% of costs related to mobilization of emergency fire suppression resources and cost of emergency fire suppression cost insurance. It establishes annual expenditures from the funds that may not exceed the lesser of $12.5 million or specific figures that have changing annual dates on there. And then I think you have one person signed up to testify.
I have Rex Storm to testify.
Chair Escobel and committee members, for the record, my name is Rex Storm. I'm a forest policy manager for Associated Oregon Loggers based here in Salem. And we represent nearly 1,000 member companies involved in harvest contract operations and other forestry operations, including fire protection and so forth. I'm also interested in this bill for another couple other reasons. I am a member of the Oregon Department of Forestry Fire Funding Committee, and I'm also a tree farm owner and do pay harvest tax and property tax assessments. I'm here today to support House Bill 4042, the dash one amendment, and I urge you to pass this bill. We support this bill because it would proactively strengthen the fire defenses that ultimately should reduce the long-term fire losses and firefighting costs in the forest. And we support the bill for three key improvements. It would establish a cooperative vertical split in large fire funding costs, or large fire costs, phased in over a four-year period of time between landowners and the general fund. Secondly, it would increase the investment in annual severity funding, again split equally between the general fund and landowners. And thirdly, it would reinforce that 50-50 share cost cooperation between landowners and the general fund, with a plus emphasis on the public responsibility to help protect forests. So passing these three key improvements, we believe, would be very consistent with the ongoing work of that Department of Forestry, Board of Forestry, Fire Funding Committee, which I am a member of. And so we feel that this bill would be consistent with the ongoing work of that committee. Thank you for your consideration.
Any questions? Any comments? Seeing none, thank you. Roger Byer and Christina McNitt.
Yeah, but this amendment replaces the bill. That's what I understand the amendment.
Yeah, because there's an amendment.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Clem and Esquivel. For the record, I'm Christina McNitt with Oregon Forest Industries Council and Roger Byer with Oregon Small Woodlands Association. I think we're going to take this in a stepwise process. Since you saw us last, we had basically the shell of a bill, and there have been amendments drafted, the dash one amendments, and Roger's going to step through the amendments, and then I think we're both going to sing from the same song sheet and ask for your support of the bill.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. I'm Roger Beyer here representing the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. With your indulgence, if you wish, I would walk through the bill kind of section by section, or excuse me, through the Dash 1 amendment section by section and explain what they do. And after that, I would be happy to answer any questions. And you are being handed a couple of diagrams. The first is our revamped chart, and I'll just very briefly, one side is current law, the reverse side is what the bill would do in a pictorial graph. The second, and I didn't save a copy of that for myself, is the second document you have is a map of Oregon that shows the mills that have been closed over, I think the date is 96, since 1996, I believe. I'm not positive of the date, but somewhere around there. It's a very graphic description of what's happened to the industry, especially on the east side of Oregon. So with that, unless there are other questions beforehand, I will start through the bill. The goal of the Dash 1 amendment, which replaces the bill, as you can see, is threefold. First, it's to equalize the fire suppression costs between the private landowners and the public via the general fund. Second, to reduce the overall fire suppression costs. And third, to provide monetary assistance to forest land owners in areas of the state with low productivity lands and high fire occurrence. So we accomplished that in this manner. The first section of the bill expands the allowable uses of the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund to include the paying of up to 50% of the costs related to the availability and mobilization of emergency fire suppression resources on a statewide basis. That's a quote directly out of the bill. It also increases the annual overall expenditure limit from the fund from $10 million to $12.5 million. And then it spells out sublimits under $12.5 million in each category as to how much can be expended. Sections 2 through 4 of the bill, of the amendment, phase in the dollar-for-dollar sharing of the deductible of the Emergency Forest Protection Fund insurance. Under current law, the forest landowners pay the first $10 million of the deductible, and the general fund is responsible for the second $15 million. What these sections do is, in a four-year process, phase that horizontal line into a vertical line, and that the first year, starting in July 1st, 2013, the first $5 million of that deductible would be split dollar for dollar, general fund and landowner. The next $7.5 million would be the landowner's obligation, and the $7.5 million above that would be the general fund obligation. So you've got, in the first year, kind of a three-tiered approach. That then increases by $5 million per year over 4 years, so that by the fourth year, or 2016, the entire $20 million deductible would be split dollar for dollar between landowner and general fund. So that is accomplished via Section 6 through 9 of the bill by appointing the right implementation date of each of the first four sections of the amendment. Section 5 of the amendment amends the potential uses of additional general fund budget for the Forestry Department under ORS 4477.777. In addition to the existing uses of the statute, monies could be used for mitigating forest patrol assessment rates in districts that have a difficult time meeting performance standards due to several land productivity, fire occurrence, and other economic factors. Other minor changes to this section are to the reporting requirements to the legislative body. These amendments are constructed to accomplish a policy shift that bring out a more equally shared funding of large fire costs among the Forest Land Protection Fund and the General Fund without increasing the impact of the General Fund budget in the current biennium. The bill, while it reduces the obligation, and this is important, it reduces the annual obligation of the general fund and increases the annual obligation of the Forest Land Protection Fund, the actual expenditures in each year are not determined by this bill, and the only thing that will determine the actual expenditures of both of these funds are the fire season, severity of the fire season, and the ability to keep those fires small when they start. And what this, the main amendment, the purpose of this amendment is to keep fires smaller so that they don't get large, and large fires is the single biggest cost driver of the system of fire suppression. So the goal mainly is to keep those fires small. That basically describes the bill. I will just point out that the new part of Section 5 dealing with rate mitigation, it's under Section 5.1D of the amendment. This section is there. If you recall, at the last hearing in the interim, we had forest landowners here from the east side, and they are, the productivity of the lands, the value of their timber is being outpaced quicker than they can afford. So what you see is a new section in, it's actually not a new section, but a rewriting of Section 5.1D of ORS 477.777 that allows funds appropriated by the legislature to be used to mitigate rates and or provide extra protection in districts where, in areas where the forest landowners are no longer able to afford what the public, quite frankly, is demanding that they provide for the protection of their lands. I'd like to point out this bill does not require any obligation of the legislature. It simply allows for that to happen, that if the legislature so chooses to appropriate money, it allows the Forestry Department to use it for that purpose. With that, I think I've walked through the entire amendment. It's a quite lengthy amendment. Might be a little hard to read, but it is just a phase-in of what I've described, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Cohen.
Thank you. When I move to the Ways and Means portion of the discussion of ag and natural resource budgets in the last session, trying to understand funding for fire control in this budget was perhaps the most complicated piece of that whole effort, which I sort of, kind of, maybe got somewhat in line. I think that the flip side of your handout is a pretty good summary of why that is such a complex and difficult to understand process. Now we go to the front side of your handout, which has managed to make it three times more complicated than it was before. I'm sorry, I don't quite get it. Can you put it in English as to what it is you want to do and why you want to do it?
Co-chairs Esquivel and Clem and Representative Cowan. The representative sitting to your immediate left probably can answer more questions about this issue than I can, even, but he's been doing it as long as I have, and in the budget
was directed the wrong way.
but I will do my best. As I said, the goal of this amendment is threefold. It's to more equally share the costs of the fire suppression amongst landowners and general fund, and that is done via the split deductible versus the horizontal deductible split. Today we'd like to see that a dollar for dollar match. That's the first goal. The second goal is to increase the ability of the Department of Forestry and landowners to keep fire occurrences when they happen small. That is done by allowing the department, or by authorizing a new use of the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. Under current law, the only uses of that fund are to pay for insurance premium and to pay for the deductible. This allows a new use of that fund to increase the severity resources needed when the districts desire it, to keep those so they can attack fires quicker and keep fires smaller. That is the second new thing in this bill. And the third thing is, as I've said, is in many places of southern and eastern Oregon, the ability of landowners to pay for the cost of fire suppression has been outstripped by the cost of that activity. And that's predominantly because of what we've seen in the past 10 years, maybe a little longer than that, but about 10 years of the loss of infrastructure of the industry in those areas. These landowners, many of them have to ship logs 100 miles or more in each, one way now, where there used to be, and I'm very familiar with the Prineville area, as my family owned a ranch in that area. When we went to that area, there were 5 mills in Prineville. Today, there are none. Let me rephrase it. There may be one that has restarted recently, a chip mill. So if you got logs that have no value anywhere, you can give them to a chip mill now locally. But that's the only... So you've got, if you have the landowners in the Prineville area, for instance, have to ship their logs either to John Day or back to someplace on this side of the mountain. It just becomes cost prohibitive almost to try to make a value out of that resource. So that, in layman terms, is the best way I can describe the three goals of this amendment.
Follow up? I get the third point you made as far as the decreased, the higher costs and decreased production on the east side. What exactly does this bill do to address that?
Co-chairs and Representative Cowan, if you look at Section 5 of the bill.
And is this the amendment?
This is the amendment,
bill?
Excuse me, of the amendment. Section 5.
I couldn't find Section 5 when I was.
We don't have it. It's coming.
It's
one
page.
We don't have it.
It's one right page.
You don't have the amendment yet?
Sorry, no,
well,
they
do, but
there was
it's
an issue
page.
In copying, and oh. So they're
it's missing
being
the page.
Passed
it
out
section
right
now. I believe I now have so. Section 5, which I did not when I was trying to follow you.
Well, hopefully. Now, if you look at page 7...
Now that I look at page 5, could you try that again?
On page 7, section 5, starting on line 3, under 5.1d, you would see a new black language there. And what we've done is we've added in this section so that it now reads, enhancing forest protection district resources or mitigating forest patrol assessment rates in limited cases where land productivity, fire frequency, and fire potential... and it continues on. So what it does is it allows funding from the legislature through the Department of Forestry to be used for this new use, and basically it's the mitigation of forest patrol assessment rates. That's the operative language in that section that allows for that rate relief.
So if I understand you correctly, if in the budgeting process the legislature decided to put additional general fund in, it could be used to mitigate the rates for those individuals.
Co-chair Esquivel, Representative Cowan, correct. If you look down below, if you look above that in section 1, directly below that subsection 2, you will see that the State Forest Department may not expend more than $3 million per year to carry out the activities described in 1B through D, so that would include D, and then but it starts with, unless the Legislative Assembly expressly provides otherwise. So what that is saying is that on a normal year, the Forestry Department could use up to $3 million for all the uses B through D of this section. But the legislature could, if they wanted, put more money in there.
Thank you. It is a little easier to follow you when I have the pages.
I can imagine. Yeah. It's hard enough when you have the pages.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm such a slow study, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. So in the past, this fund, the landowners paid until it triggered, and then the state started to pay, correct?
That's
now they're going to both pay at the same time. I got that right?
Yes.
All right. And this is... There's 30-some thousand jobs less here, and people wonder why we don't have money to educate, medicate, incarcerate. Now, there's a lot of federal reasons for this, I know, but we have an opportunity to at least take greater advantage of 3% of the forest in this state, and I hope this committee, and I'm fairly confident we will, pass it to Ways and Means, and then they will be responsible for making that bill pass and the governor sign it. And I hope, and anyone who opposes... People need to be held. We need to be held accountable in this building. We are accountable for the situation we're in the state, and we have to fix at least part of this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bob,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, and this is for another question, and it coming before Christina clarifies everything that you said. I think to start off with, my good friend and co-chair in the last legislative session did go through this forced budget and the fire protection budget, and it is extremely complicated. And there's a lot of difference of opinion, you know, in relationship to it. I'd like to express to the committee my support of this bill, and to say I am looking forward to having to explain this again in the subcommittee on natural resources would be in error. But if you want a more in-depth lesson, that might be a place to go, and even as a refresher course, even though the representative to my right is no longer on that committee, we certainly would welcome her to join us in discussing.
Thank you, sir.
But it has been, in recent years, it's been a really difficult and complex issue, and I do appreciate the bringing of this bill forward. I think it will help. Is it going to solve all the problems? No. I think representative to my left is correct. If we had another 30,000 jobs, we could start to solve some of those problems if they were in the forest industry. But at least right now, we don't have those, and we are trying, and I appreciate this bill is trying to make this as whole as we can within the constraints that we have on the budget at the present time. So thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm sorry for not asking a question, and I'm sorry for elaborating before Christina. Excuse me.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. And my first enlightenment, I would say, on this issue, I asked Representative Morgan. And, you know, bless her heart, I love Representative Morgan, but when you'd ask her what time of day it was, she would tell you how to build an atomic clock. And I got in great detail on how this worked by asking the question, how does that work? So it's I see what you're doing. You're actually, what you're doing is making this more fair to the landowner. That's the bottom line here. Because the landowner was footing the bill for most of the upfront cost, where the state was kind of getting off the hook on the back end of this thing. So I do understand what you're doing. And yes, Representative Johnson. Yes.
Could I just, sure. Yeah. There's an awful lot of data out there, the effect that this all has on landowners. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, there are landowners in our state that are taking their land out of forestry and using it as, you know, rangeland because it's cheaper and there isn't the way the... you talk about 100 miles to a sawmill, and at $4 a gallon for diesel, and a machine that sucks a lot more diesel than my little pickup does, it suddenly you got to have a good margin of return to hit a break-even point with it, and I, at least as long as I'm here and have some opportunity to speak to it, I'm going to continue to fight for everything I can for this particular industry.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Roger, I appreciate, I think, some of the policy, I think, revisions that I think you see in here regarding putting more of an emphasis on rapid response to small fires. That's still a very hot topic in my neck of the woods after the Dollar Lake fire this last year, where many of my constituents are convinced that a very lackadaisical response led to a much larger conflagration than we would have needed to have. Obviously, that was on federal land, but the point remains the same. But it also occurred to me while we were talking about this that really what you're kind of suggesting is, in regards to fire suppression, hitting the fires while they're small, keeping them from growing into larger issues, is the same thing we're talking about on the healthcare side, treating the healthcare maladies when they're little to keep them from becoming chronic conditions. So you might want to file that away and use it if this bill gets farther down the road and a certain individual comes in contact with it. You might have some airplay there.
Thank you.
Question.
Chair, no comment.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Was there anyone else? Anyone from the department here? Oh, you?
Well,
I thought you'd turn it over to Roger.
Good. For the record, Christina McNitt with OFIC is feeling pretty good here, so if you don't want me to add any more, I'm perfectly content with that. I think that the concepts of the bill you all have actually articulated back to us, and that's gratifying. This, unfortunately, doesn't make things simpler, and that's because of the magic of the bill, actually. We're trying to prolong it through the next 4 years, so there really is no impact on the general fund in the near term. But I would suggest to you that this bill really is a unicorn. It's something that we've all been trying to capture. It's been elusive, this 50-50 concept where we have had forest fire funding based on the concept, worst-case scenario. We've shared 50-50 between the state and the landowners in potential liability, but the actual costs have been way skewed in that after you get past the base protection level, which you all have worked very hard to keep at 50-50, but when you get into the cost of suppression and for severity resources, that's been more of an 82% to 18% ratio, and we just can't continue to bear that as landowners. So what this bill does is it phases in a split of the actual costs over time between forest landowners and the state. And you're exactly on point, Representative Johnson, with respect to recognizing that the Forest Land Protection Fund, by the way, fully funded by landowner taxes and fees, the Forest Landowner Fund under this language would be opened up to be used for in different ways so that we could bring resources to bear on smaller fires quicker and keep them smaller. So there are a number of components, but the ultimate goal is to get to 50-50. I think we have a darn good shot, and I have to give credit to the committee that's been working with the Department of Forestry. You heard from them earlier before this session started. All ideas in this building are subject to plagiarism, and that's what this bill is. This is the recommendation they came up with, but they have a process to go through the department, through the Board of Forestry, and it just would lose the opportunity to be in front of this legislative session. So OSWA captured the language, inserted it in the amendments, and that's what you're considering today. And if you could forward that to Ways and Means for more discussion, we would be very grateful.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, and thank you, Christina, and thank you, Roger, too. As a small woodlands owner and member of the association, and we just finished our latest forest management plan with the help of NRCS and some other friends in the sustainable forestry industry, this is the cherry on top of that little sundae. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have others who want to
anyone
testify.
Else would like to testify? Jim?
Jim Wells.
The regulars aren't signing up anymore. Chair Escovale, Jim Welsh here for Oregon Cattlemen Association. We do not have a formal or official stance on the bill as amended. We are and we're invited to the fire funding committee that has been convening in Bend. And we were looking forward to certainly the results, because that's been a very broad and diverse group. And we know OSWA and everybody else is also participating in this effort. We have concerns about funding and assessments on certainly rocks, sagebrush, and juniper. And you have to understand it's not all forest land over on the east side. Now, I'm talking mostly about the east side and cattlemen on that side. Very concerned about. And I had several of them tell me what they were paying. Some were paying more for fire protection assessments than they were on their property taxes. And They are very concerned about this. We've had a member that has, I think, sent some letters to you about those assessments. And so we are going to get at that issue, I know, on this fire funding committee. And there will be, through the county committees, I think, an opportunity to address some of this. But I just want you to know that there's others out there paying some fire protection assessments also. And our members have a lot of forest land also. So, you know, putting this all together so that we, I think what Oz was amendments and Bill is doing, I think for the greatest part of that, and this is just coming from me, it's not official for the cattlemen, I think there's a lot of good stuff in that. And I think they're definitely headed in the right direction, according to a lot of our discussions around this issue. So, but I just want to let you know that we will have an official and a statement, because we have our quarterly meeting this weekend, and this will be one of those top subjects for us to go over and come up with our comments, which I know we'll have another chance to share. So thank you.
Anyone else would like to address this? Any questions for Jim, by the way? I think he just made a statement. He never really said anything.
Sure, that's Paul. You asked if the Department of Forestry was here, and we're here to answer any questions that you would like.
Why don't you step up to the plate here, and let's see what you have. Anyone here have any questions for the department?
Only, it's really not to this bill.
Let's let him introduce first.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Esquivel and members of the committee. Pleasure to be here today with you today. My name is Travis Medim. I'm the Deputy Chief of Fire for the department, and with me is Charlie Stone, a policy analyst.
Charlie, you want to identify yourself, please, for the record?
For the record, my name is Charlie Stone, Forestry Department.
Only, Mr. Chair, thank you. If we log more on state lands, we're going to bring in more revenue, which would offset any fiscal, so the fiscal should be zero and a positive revenue impact. That's just math. I just wanted to share that with the people.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so that I can reinforce my understanding, could you run through from your perspective what you think the bill will do within this program?
Sure. Co-Chair Esquivel, members of the committee, Representative Cowan, I think there's the bill does three things, and there's three key components in the bill. The first is at the severity level, which is what we currently know as the special purpose appropriation for the air tankers and helicopter program. It takes dollars from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund and invests that into the severity program, which adds initial attack capacity and helps reduce wildfires. The second piece is the portion that was talked about earlier, which is a rate mitigation piece that goes into the local forest protection districts that have lower productivity land, and that helps offset the cost. And so what it does is create the mechanism to do it. It doesn't assign any dollars to do that. And then the third piece, which is probably the most complex piece, is the large fire funding portion of it. And so what the bill does is over time equitably step in a sharing of that deductible dollar for dollar over time. Currently it's structured in a layered fashion where the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund pays the first $10 million, general fund pays the next $15 million. This takes that large fire funding mechanism and splits it vertical dollar for dollar, ma'am.
Charlie, do you have anything else to add?
Two things. I think and I don't know if anybody caught this, but it was talked about that the current deductible for the insurance policy is $25 million, and this structure is based on lowering that to $20 million. That's not in the bill because the state forester already has the authority to negotiate that, but that would be the intention if this were to pass, to drop that deductible to $20 million. The premium would go up a little bit, but it would then allow for an equal sharing, and we haven't gone past $15 million in fire costs in the last 7 or 8 years. Doesn't mean we can't, but it would be a fairly rare event. So that's one of the elements that outside the bill would need to take place to make all this work. And the other thing that I would add, we were looking earlier at subsection 2 of section 5, the piece that talks about the $3 million. Just for the record, I'd like to make it very clear that as this bill is developed, it's intended that $2 million could go into severity from the OFLPF, and then this says $3 million, and it just says for these purposes, but the $3 million would be general fund money. So the combined OFLPF and general fund money could be up to $5 million going towards severity, or a portion of that going to the rate mitigation for the district. So it actually would make it quite a bit, potentially quite a bit more than the current $2.2 million that we're putting into the severity program. That would allow us, if this all went ahead, to put more resources out when we get a lightning bust and there's fire all over the landscape. We'd have more air attack, more capability to get on more of those fires and keep them small.
Any questions? Comments?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing. Unless someone else would like to come forward at all. I'm going to close the public hearing on 4042, and I'm going to take a quick recess. Public committee on Ag and Natural Resource. Going to go to a work session on House Bill 4042.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 4042.
Okay, there's been a motion to move the dash one amendments to House Bill 4042. Anyone want to speak on this issue? Does anyone object to this? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4042 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
It's been moved that we move House Bill 4042 as amendment to the House floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any questions? Any statements? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. I'm now going to open a work session on House Bill 4006. Go ahead, Chair.
Committee members and audience in the back of the room, as well as in your packet, is a dash 3 amendment. House Bill 4006, you guys are all very familiar with, so I won't get into too much detail on it, but for the record, the dash 3 amendment, you do have a revenue impact statement, a no revenue impact statement that was issued and a minimal fiscal impact, no statement issued. The dash 3 amendment removed section 1 of the original bill, restoring the language that authorizes the commission to advise, consult, and cooperate with other state agencies and political subdivisions. And then it requires the commission to consult with private landowners and local service districts. So the changes that you made to the bill were adding private landowners and the special service districts to the bill.
Chair Quinn?
Yeah, I'll speak after I do the formal motion proposing. Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendments to House Bill 4006.
Co-Chair Clem has moved the dash three amendments to House Bill 4006. Any discussion? Seeing none, any questions? Does anyone object? Seeing no objection, so moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Clem has moved House Bill 4006 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any comments?
One for me. I just wanted to state for the record that our intent in the language of the bill that talks about mitigation is not intended to specify what sometimes in our laws are known as mitigation, meaning you got to spend a whole bunch of money offsetting damages, but instead means work with and, you know, hold meetings and try and inform the affected people what might happen. But this isn't like a mitigation bank where the ODFMW is going to have to come up with all the cash to offset the, you know, any losses due to a list.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've always liked this bill, and I probably like the amendments. However, I have about half of the pages here.
And? Just kidding.
I try to know what I'm voting on.
Really sorry. If we could just take a brief recess, bring up new. I think probably Christy, everyone's going to need new copies.
We're opposed to even numbers.
So
apparently.
Sorry about that. So we just want to take a brief recess.
More
again.
Pages.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
correct us, Mayor.
And we were with a glitch, although coming back with the couple of pages we were missing, it's actually the same thing that what we had before. But it was a very simplistic addendum. And what it did is, just like Beth had said, it had put private land use, landowners in the bill and took out Section 1. And we have a motion to adopt, correct?
Yeah, Chair, I think that you have a no objection motion on the adoption of the three. There was no objection, and then Representative Clem made a motion to move it as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and then Representative Springer brought it to our attention that we were missing many pages. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to comment on it or such object accordingly? Anyone object?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm struggling a bit with this. This amendment is a fairly major change to the bill. It's a big addition, and it does put a different bit of a different emphasis on it. I think that it. Causes me some concern that we didn't have much conversation about the addition.
I may be able to answer that. The objection was from the department on the wording of the Section 1 that required them, if my memory serves me correct, required them to, one, have to deal with the federal government, or two, a different state. They wanted the latitude to be able to sidestep that issue in case it didn't apply. As for landowners, private landowners, I personally put that in there because it's very appropriate, because we need to discuss these overlays and these designations with the private landowner, because that's the people that it affects the most. So that's this amendment is actually my amendment.
It does, however, put a very a different slant on the bill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, does anyone object? Do you object, Representative?
Sure, you just want a roll call vote.
Let's take a roll call.
Yeah.
Representative Bowles.
Aye.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Springer.
Aye.
So Vice Chair Cohen.
I'm going to say no based on the fact that I don't think we had enough conversation on that particular addition.
Vice Chair Johnson.
Aye.
Co-Chair Clem.
Aye.
Co-Chair Esquivel.
Aye. So moved. We need a carrier for that. Representative Johnson, would you like to carry that today?
Mr. Chair, thank you.
I think they'd have better luck this time getting all the way through.
Any further comments? Anything for the betterment of the cause?
We need a ding finger amendment.
Seeing none, adjourn.
Although last.